Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
Welcome, everybody. Second hour today of Political Coffee, the show where we talk about the political issues of the day, hopefully within a, well, in a manner that, first of all, you find valuable. And secondly, that helps you change your world. Because it gives you ideas about how you can have conversations with the persuadable. So you can persuade the persuadable. Not bludgeon them in an argument over the head. No, but rather help them reach a conclusion on their own. Like voting for a sales tax. Seriously. Will you vote for a sales tax? You see, the Oregon legislature is, as is always, they're always introducing bills for a sales tax at some point. You see, this is what the left does. They never stop. This is why they are successful. They just keep coming at you. Every session, there are sales tax bills introduced. And I just, it just doesn't matter how many times we defeat we the people, because you have to change Oregon's constitution, right? We the people are the only people that can do that. So the legislature can send out a legislative referral that says, yeah, let's vote on a sales tax, as they've done in times past, but we have always voted it down. I think they think they're getting to the place now where Oregon is, quote unquote, blue enough with all of these new people moving in here who are used to paying high taxes. I think that they're finally at a place, the unions that fund all of this, because the unions are the ones who benefit. Look at the incredible amount of money that the unions are getting and then turning around and giving back to Democrat politicians. Okay. The huge amounts of increases in pay are just astonishing, even in the middle of the pandemic. People are losing their jobs. Small businesses are just dying. It didn't matter. They think that they can. This is why, and I know Art's on the line because he's probably going to try to rebut me, but the reality is this, folks. They don't think they can kill the goose that laid the golden egg. They just don't. Now, just look at the statistics of people leaving California. Why is that? I mean, look, California has better weather than Oregon does. I know. I used to live down there. But you can't afford to live there. That's the problem. Why? Because they keep raising your cost of living with higher taxes and higher fees. Now, you would think that if you left a state because you just can't afford to live there, and you moved to a place like Oregon because there are, you know, a lot of rural communities around Oregon, a lot cheaper to live in places in California, you would think that in their lightning quick minds, these people would say, well, no, I'm not going to vote for a sales tax. Why would I do that? It's the reason I had to leave California. Couldn't afford to live there anymore. They just kept ratcheting up. Ratcheting it up, higher and higher and higher. But no, that's not how people think, unfortunately, because Michael Savage, for all his faults, has it right. Liberalism is a mental disease. It lacks total and complete common sense. It has none. The idea that you can tax your way into prosperity is an absurdity. And every place that's ever tried it has failed. Everyone. Now, This is why I think Democrats think that they have finally turned a corner, because they've gotten enough liberal people to move into this state from high tax states that they'll think, well, Oregon's taxes are still lower. Well, they're not. And, oh, you know, I've been paying a sales tax all this time. Yeah, why not vote for a sales tax here? I mean, after all, because the argument will be made that it's for the children. Because schools still don't have enough money. They're already saying it. You could give all the money in the entire state budget to schools and they would still say it's not enough. It's the emotional argument, right? So the unions are going to say this is all about the children. Or they'll use some other emotional argument, whatever one they could use at the time, that will work for them. And they will put all the money behind this thing. You wait. They're always on offense. Now, Vengeance or Justice, Senator Prezansky says that giving incarcerated felons the right to vote is letting go of vengeance. It's a Willamette Week story that I'll put on the show plan. Is it vengeance when you don't let felons vote? Shouldn't they pay a price? Now, we're talking incarcerated felons. In Oregon, if you have left jail and you've paid your fines and your restitution, you can vote. I'm all right with that. I'm not all right with felons who are currently serving time in prison being given the right to vote. It should be hard on you because that's justice. Because just think about your victims. But liberals don't think about victims. They only think about the criminal that we've been way too hard on, because they need to be rehabilitated. Yes, we need to rehabilitate them. And we do that by being nice to them. Is that right? Does that work? Did it work with your kids when they broke the family rules and you just said, well, okay, just don't do it again the next time? How well did that work? Or did it work better when you gave them some serious punishment in their life? Or they recognize that there are consequences to their actions. Again, this is not rocket science, folks. And again, if you want to help persuade a persuadable person, present all of these issues of the day in a common sense manner. Now, I'll get into the pushback, the resistance to Joe Biden's unconstitutional executive orders that's happening in some states, and also constitutional new federal laws. I want to get into that because I think it's important. Also, the U.S. House of Representatives, the Republicans, voted by secret ballot to keep Liz Cheney, and she's gloating about it. She is digging her grave at home, but the numbers against her are stunning, and she's only making it worse. And she's got a Republican challenger, and I'm going to help give that Republican challenger money, and you should too. And so should Trump. He has $77 million in a special fund for this purpose. He needs to give that money to her challenger too. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Also, we'll get into the Democratic food fight here in Oregon. Democrat neo-communist Shamia Fagan, who's our Secretary of State, is saying that under the Constitution, she exclusively now has the right to redraw the congressional and House and Senate district lines. For Oregon. Is she right? Well, you might be surprised at my conclusion. And I'll get to that a little bit later, too. Again, 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Are you going to vote for a sales tax? And is it vengeance or justice to stop incarcerated felons from having the right to vote? Let's go back to Art. Art, you wanted to weigh in again?
Yeah, Jim. I wanted to clarify, the Democrats definitely want to promote bigger businesses like Costco, Walmart, eBay, and get rid of small businesses, Jeff, because the bigger businesses, number one, their gross receipts, okay, go up because all these other smaller businesses go out of business. So their gross receipts go up, and therefore they're able to charge more taxes. They want the little guy to go away. They want big business to grow because they make more money from the gross receipts tax. So they know what the heck they're doing, I believe. They want to funnel all the money to big business, and so they can collect more of the gross receipts tax. They don't care about the little guy, and they want to see these bigger us funneled into the bigger businesses so they make more money. So, you know, the small mom and pops and the smaller grocery stores are hurting more, and the bigger ones are growing. I believe, you know, Fred Meyer is losing business to the bigger box stores, the Walmarts and stuff like that, and eventually they're going to be pushed out, and the big guys are going to be surviving and more able to do what the Democrats want, like raise the minimum wage to $15 so they can pass it up to us. And, of course, we're going to have to pay higher prices. The Democrats, Kate Brown, knows what the heck she's doing. And she just don't care about small business anymore. She knows where the money's at, and she's going to attempt to get these bigger businesses to grow, and the little guys are just going to go away.
But here's the problem with her thinking. Why do you think? Now, just stop for a minute. Here's the problem with her thinking. At some point, if that's true, if she really doesn't care about the little businesses and she drives them all out of business, big business doesn't produce enough tax revenue to keep things going in the state. Isn't that true?
Well, Jeff, little businesses are going out of business right and left right now, and she don't care. She wants to. She knows the business is going to these other businesses, and with a gross receipts tax, Jeff, they get the taxes from gross sales, not from net profits, and that's what's so detrimental with this dang gross receipts tax. And the little guy just they either don't get up to that point, or can't afford it. So that's why the Democrats want the bigger businesses to grow and all the business from the small businesses to funnel in there, including the stores like Fred Meyer and stuff like that.
All right, Art. That's Art's opinion. Back in a moment, folks. It's 7:20. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Party
2 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you back with us. 503-589-1220 is that Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. I want to thank Eric Azier at Righteous Renovations for being another one of our great sponsors. You know, just having confidence in the contractor you've hired to work on your home is, well, it's kind of a big deal. You just don't want to let anybody in there, number one. But number two is, you know, whatever, if they do it right, then you get to live with it and enjoy it for years to come. If they do it wrong, then you got to go fix it again. And it's going to sit there and eat at you, and you're not going to like it. And if it's a bad experience, or the contractor's got way too much stuff going on, get started on your project and go somewhere else, doesn't come back for days or weeks. And we've all heard those horror stories, and they're true. They happen. So you don't worry about that with Eric Azer and Righteous Renovations. Go to his website, righteousrenovations.com. Check it out. You might be really, really surprised at the great work that they've done. And they've got pictures to prove it. You can just see it all. So it's righteousrenovations.com. Give them a call. It's a man of faith, Eric Azer, and he lives it in the name of his business, and he lives it in how he treats you. RighteousRenovations.com. Okay. Folks, the United States Constitution has this thing called the Supremacy Clause. Now, it does a couple of things. It gives supremacy to the federal government on a few issues. But it also gives states supremacy on other issues. There's a story about how in North and South Dakota, the legislatures there are pushing back. This is going on offense. This is a story in the National File. North Dakota legislators plan to nullify Biden's executive orders at the state level. This is both states have introduced legislation to do this. South Dakota's gone a little bit further because it's not just his executive orders, but it's also federal law that a Democrat-controlled Congress may pass, especially in South Dakota. And I'll get into that in a moment, but Rich is on the line, so let's go to Rich. Rich, good morning. What do you say?
Good morning. We're always going to have an argument about sales tax and regular taxes. The thing that's about it is they're never satisfied. Secondly, we already have a gross receipts tax. If you don't want to call that a sales tax, I don't know what you call it. The other thing is with Art, talking about the big companies, they always cut deals with the Oregon legislature on, oh, we don't pay property tax for 5 years, or we don't do this. Look at the deal that Bezos supposedly did with the state. Look at Nike. So the only thing you can say is it's going to be around as a fight and an argument all the time. And one thing I do know from watching all the others and being other states, they'll never be satisfied. If you could guarantee that they're going to just have a sales tax and that's it, and they'll never get the rest, you might have a chance. But that never happens.
Well, no, and look at the example of California. Exactly. In fact, I've got an email from a recent transplant from California to Oregon that I'll read for you. But I mean, it's never enough. They keep raising the income tax, they keep raising the sales taxes, and not only do you have the state sales tax, but you've got local government sales taxes. And exactly. All of it adds up to a high cost of living to the point that you can't afford to live there anymore.
Yes, and the same thing is like Bezos will say, well, you know, we provide jobs, so I don't want you to tax me for 5 years, or else I'll move my plant somewhere else. So they roll over and do that. So what have you gained? That means that property taxes go up for everybody else, but not for him. Right?
Taxes for thee, but not for me.
Exactly. So big business has a danger, sure. They have a bigger gross receipts tax base, which is a sales tax. But at the same time, they don't have to pay certain taxes that the rest of us have to pay. If a politician really wanted to do their job and make a name for themselves in a positive direction, they'd have all the state agencies show that they need the money and produce, like the teachers and stuff. Kids are now going to be 1 year behind, and they're going to be dumber than they were. Well, I don't think we should give you any more money because you can't produce a positive output.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about it. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it. Let me read this email about Californians from Gerald. It says, as a recent Oregon transplant from California, I would like to make you aware that not all Californians can be painted with a broad brush, I have heard expressed many times since arriving here 2 years ago. I've noticed that Oregon conservatives have the same problems as those in California. You're right, Gerald. I came from Northern California, burned out in the Paradise Fire of 2018 and subsequently losing my home and two businesses. I've been listening to you since I moved to Salem. I am a staunch conservative and see Oregon emulating the liberal path of California, not because of California's moving to the state, but because of liberal ideology. I believe you should seek us out for our assistance in a conservative cause rather than disparage us as a group painted by a broad brush. I see Oregon conservatives have the same problem as California conservatives. California is controlled by two or three major population centers. Well, 80% of the area state is conservative, just as Oregon is controlled by Portland, Eugene, and Salem. Since Oregon is a state made up of immigrants, have little compassion for California conservatives that have moved here. I, for one, have not brought California liberalism with me, but I have committed to the cause to not see Oregon continue down the same path. Just ask me about taxes, regulations, and mandates, and it would open your eyes as to what is possible if conservatives don't regain some control in Oregon. That's an astute point of view, because he's right. So how do we open people's eyes? How do we do that? So, Gerald, I'm asking the question. Yeah, and I know it seems like I'm painting with a broad brush here. But I'm asking the question, based on not what is maybe reality, like your reality, but rather what the Democrats and the unions think is reality. Back in a moment, 7:30.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. You know, Liz Cheney has a 10% approval rating in her home district, and she's out there gloating about it. It was a great night for her last night. She survived as the number three Republican in the House of Representatives. Well, I got news for you, Liz. You're not going to survive at home. So enjoy your time being a swamp creature, because it's about to end. And frankly, I think what ought to happen with a 10% approval rating, I don't understand why Republicans in Wyoming are not coming forward with a recall petition to recall her. They can do that. Republican legislators in North Dakota, folks, are taking a proactive and constitutional step to push back against the unconstitutional executive orders coming out of the Biden administration. And they're doing it with the power of the U.S. Constitution. North Dakota state legislatures introduced House Bill 1164, and it would instruct the state's attorney general to review the constitutionality of each of the executive orders. There's a lot of them already issued by Joe Biden. He's broken records for that. Under the proposed law, this is a story, by the way, in the National File. Under the proposed law, the North Dakota attorney general, should the North Dakota Attorney General find that any executive orders are unlawful or unconstitutional, the executive order would be nullified. The law, the North Dakota law, proposed law, would prohibit any state, county, or local agency or publicly funded organization from enforcing the order. Now, That's true. But it doesn't prohibit the federal government from enforcing an order. But the problem is that federal government activity can only extend to federal agencies or federal projects under federal control. And even that suspect, if you have a sheriff who's willing to stand up. Now, it enumerates the following issues for nullification, because it's pretty broad-based. Listen to this. Pandemics or other health emergencies. The regulation of natural resources, including coal and oil. Regulation of the agricultural industry. The use of land. The regulation of the financial sector as it relates to the environmental, social, and governmental standards. The regulation of the constitutional right to keep and bear arms. Now, a state rep has introduced legislation that would apply the same standards to unconstitutional federal laws coming from the federal legislative branch, Congress. That bill, House Bill 1282, would create a committee on neutralization of federal laws. This committee, comprised of the state legislative leadership and their appointees, would recommend whether a given federal law or regulation is unconstitutional. Should the committee find that a law or regulation is unconstitutional, the North Dakota legislature would pass a concurrent resolution on whether to nullify the transgressing law or edict. After the committee's recommendation and until the resolution is passed, state, county, and local agencies would be prohibited from enforcing the law or regulation. Now, by the way, North Dakota Republicans control the Senate 40-7, 80-14 in the House. If it wasn't for the weather, that sounds like it'd be a pretty good place to live, wouldn't it? Given where we are in Oregon. South Dakota has similar legislation to North Dakota's House Bill 1164 targeting the executive lawmaking. And it goes on to and they have a huge number. They dominate their Senate by 32-3 and 62-8 in the House. Now, the United States Constitution's Supremacy Clause enjoins each state to follow the laws that are constitutionally sound and only on issues that the Constitution granted purview to the federal government to determine. If the federal government, from the executive, legislative, or even the judicial branch, acts unconstitutionally, the individual states have a right to ignore the transgressing edict. This notion was championed by none other than the great champion of a strong central government, Alexander Hamilton, in Federalist number 33. So the guy in Alexander Hamilton, who was the most vociferous proponent of a strong federal central government, is the guy who says individual states have the right to ignore a transgressing edict. This is pushing back. Folks, it's going on offense. This is what we need more of, not less of. Now, how does that impact us in Oregon? Well, it doesn't. In fact, if anything, it gives businesses and others reasons to go move to those states. Now, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, truly a bulwark, a Trump supporter, and a bulwark against the crazy leftist lockdown COVID ideas of Kate Brown and other governors that are leftist lockdown Democrats. She has proved by her refusing to go down these roads at the state level that their infection rate, their disease rate is no different than ours. Their death rate for COVID is no different than ours. In fact, it's actually less in many places. Because we all know that lockdowns don't work. It's about control. You know, this is what this pushes back against. Now, What we should do in Oregon is we should have legislators offer up similar bills here in Oregon. Now, there may have been, and I just don't know it yet because I haven't been alerted to it yet. I think it's a great idea. Is it going to get heard in committee? No. But the fact that they're going on offense is never giving up, just like the left never gives up. They're never going to give up on a sales tax. Why? Because they think that you cannot kill the goose that has laid the golden egg. It's that simple. This gets back to the sales tax discussion and how that Californians might be the people to push it over the edge finally in Oregon. Yeah, you can paint Californians with a broad brush. I think the Democrats think, and the union people, that based on what's been happening, they can finally do this now. Because what they've seen and what they've noticed is the Californians that are moving into particular enclaves in Portland and other places like Bend. In fact, Bend, I think, has the highest number of Californians moving there than any other place in the state as a percentage of population. I think is what, that was the number I saw. It has become increasingly Democrat. That makes it easier for Democrats to win. That's how my namesake, Jason Krupp, a Democrat, a liberal, assistant DA over there in the DA's office in Deschutes County, that's how he got elected to replace the Rhino Republican Sherry Helt. Folks, it went from an 11% Democrat district to a 13% Democrat district. And that's from people moving in there who are Democrats. Now, why wouldn't you think that if you're going to vote for a Democrat, because you are a Democrat, why would you not think that a Californian moving to Oregon isn't going to follow the same Democrat line? Not only vote for Democrats for office, but vote for a sales tax. We need it. After all, it's for the children. It's for schools. That's what I think the Democrats think. Now, if Gerald is more right than I think, maybe it's an opportunity. Not quite serious. Maybe it's an opportunity. Now, the reason he came to Oregon wasn't for taxes. It's because he got burned out, sadly and unfortunately, and I feel badly for him. But what about the people that move to Oregon for any reason? Are they willing, literally willing, to pay higher taxes and fees? And are they willing to vote for the politicians that do that to them, whether it's at the city council level, county commission level, or right up to the state? Are they going to, just like they seem to be doing, check the box for any Democrat? Or can they be messaged to effectively, where the light bulb goes on in their head? You know what? It's cheaper to live here in Oregon. Why? Oh, because the Democrats haven't raised my taxes as high as they were in California. Maybe I should not vote for Democrats. In fact, maybe I should vote against tax increases and fee increases. Corby writes an email about the sales tax, says, I don't believe in sales tax, but a question to ask is, are they going to eliminate state taxes or keep them? I bet they keep the state tax. Yes, they will, because they always make the argument we need the third leg to the stool. Linda writes an email. An anecdotal story. My mother was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, FDR liberal, for more decades than I care to state. I remember as a teenager my mother railing against a sales tax being promoted at the time. She said the promise to eliminate the income tax if the sales tax was voted in was a big lie. She was right then, and on this subject she would be right now. But she would have voted for Biden and Brown. Back in a moment, 7:48. We'll be right back.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes to the top of the hour. In a moment, we'll go back to Rich. The hydraulic cartoon guy sent me a... He works at an unnamed state agency, and there are these dry erase boards in the agency. I mean, this is just precious. This is pushing back. He puts on these dry erase boards in the agency cartoons. This particular one he sent me is about these windmills here in Oregon and how there's a couple of guys standing at the bottom and they got a door open at the bottom of one of the windmill towers. It's where they're burning coal. And two guys standing there, one with his hand and foot up on a shovel, and he says, well, don't tell him about this party, but just freak him out. He says he puts these up all over the place, and they don't last for very long. I can't imagine why. Oh, kudos. I mean, that's somebody doing their part, right? I'll get to Lee's email after I talk to Rich. Rich, good morning again.
Morning. I just thought of something rather radical. If a politician wanted to really get some power behind him, I mean some real power, say a Democrat or a Republican, if they had the if they could get it started to get rid of this lockdown, I don't think anybody in Oregon would not vote for them for governor. Whether it's a Democrat or not, just think about it. If they would push the issue and move on it, they'd have a name that you'd even know in Paisley, California, or Paisley, Oregon, or Wagon Tire, Oregon. They'd be known all over just by getting rid of the lockdown.
It's an interesting thesis. Interesting. Well, look, the reason I think it has some legs to it is because everybody's been infected by it. Everybody.
Exactly.
And especially when it comes to the issue of schools. I mean, that's that emotional issue, right? This is where Kate Brown has caved to the teachers union, of course, giving teachers shots over senior citizens, even though studies all over the world and in other places in America show that teachers aren't at risk. Kids aren't at risk in schools.
Yeah, and then if you take it one step further, that same person, and says, okay, the schools haven't been producing. No money till you produce. Everybody in Oregon would be happy about that, too.
Yeah, they would, actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, it wouldn't matter what your track record as a Democrat or Republican was. If you could get those two things moving, everybody, like I said, even in Wagon Tire would know who you are. They'd be a hero.
Yeah. All right. Great point. I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody would know. It's interesting that you bring that point up because, well, I'm just working with somebody that everybody's probably going to know about soon. And we may be polling that very question. Thanks, Rich. Well, appreciate
it. Put me into the poll, will you?
All right. Got an email from Lee about grandma's cookies. Why does the left hate cookies? I was having a nice conversation while standing in line at the grocery store with a beautiful elderly lady named Nellie, who in the conversation said she was doing her bi-monthly shopping. Quote, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I don't shop daily like I used to since Henry passed, unquote. I glanced at her cart. Flour, sugar, chocolate chips, butter, milk, and cat food. Often my mouth runs before my brain engages. I ask her where her dinner was. With confidence, Nellie stated, quote, times are tough, but I get to see my grand and my great-grand babies this weekend, and they'll want grandma's cookies, unquote. The guy behind her nodded. The cashier had been waiting for me to approach, then my phone rang. The left always uses tear-jerking stories to drive their agenda, so why do they hate cookies? You see, increasing taxes will greatly affect many. I wanted to ask Nellie for her phone number so I could help with groceries, but I lost her in the parking lot. Nellie, with little money, with the little money she has, made the choice not to buy food, but cookies for her kids and her grandkids, or actually her grandkids and her great-grandkids. What will happen to her if the government takes more from her? The left hates more than cookies. Oh, that's good. It is a poignant story. Because that's the impact of a sales tax. That's the impact of the gross receipts tax. But I'll guarantee you that the companies that are paying the gross receipts tax have had their costs go up. The cost that Nellie has to pay to bake cookies for her grandkids and her great-grandkids. And again, the left thinks that they can't kill the goose that laid the golden egg. People will just pay it. They will pay more. And so what if they have to pay more, is what they think. So what? So what if it gets passed down? Any new tax or any new fee that we force down a business's throat, so what if they pass it on? They'll just make other choices. We know that they have a finite amount of money. They'll just choose not to drive such a fancy car. Or maybe they'll choose to buy an electric vehicle that we help subsidize. Or maybe they will choose not to, you know, have Comcast or DirecTV because they can't afford it, so they have to make other choices. And they won't even know that we're doing it to them. They won't know that it's we Democrats and a few rhino Republicans who believe that you should just keep raising fees and taxes because you can't kill the goose that lays the golden egg. Because people will just keep paying it. The problem with that is that sooner or later, enough people say no, which is exactly how we got a Revolutionary War. And that's how you get certain movements like the property tax limitation measure that we passed in 1990 that has saved Oregon property owners at least $20 billion, that's with a B, dollars in property taxes. And has it decimated your local government? Your local county or your city? Not if you walk around and look at their city halls and you still hear the jokes about city and county employees, state employees, you know, five or six of them standing around watching one guy do the work. You still hear those jokes, so the perception about it hasn't changed. It didn't devastate anything. But it saved the taxpayers money. That came about as a result of way too high a taxes. So there is a line. The question is, where is it? Tomorrow's Freedom Friday, folks. I hope you join us then. We'll give you the freedom to talk about anything you want to talk about politically. Stacey ends up next with Good Morning Salem. I'll see you tomorrow.